Ah, Germaine Greer. Nothing if not controversial.
I was going to talk about women and power, the lessons of the 20th century, because I think there's a lot of triumphalist talk that masks the real historic situation. And apparently people have decided that because I don't think that post-operative transgender men, i.e. M2F, transgender people are women, I'm not to be allowed to talk. I'm not saying that people should not be allowed to go through that procedure. What I'm saying is it doesn't make them a woman. It happens to be an opinion. It's not a prohibition. Carry on if that's what you think it is you want to do. I've been accused of inciting violence against transsexual people. That's absolute nonsense.
Professor Greer there, talking to BBC Newsnight and getting herself into a whole heap of trouble. Those views on transgender women, well, Germaine wouldn't call them that, have been labelled misogynistic, transphobic. There's been a backlash. An online petition sought to have her barred from speaking at Cardiff University in the UK. Now, Greer wasn't going to talk on transgender politics, but that wasn't the point to her objectors. No platform. That's the reaction, the denial of public space to proponents of views thought to be injurious, insulting, rancorous, wrong. Who's to decide on who gets a platform? That's one thing, of course. Political correctness, rampant, censorious. In Germaine Greer's own words, she was simply expressing an opinion. Why shy from what's a complex and deep debate? Sally Goldner is Executive Director at Transgender Victoria. Sally, is Professor Greer's argument so repellent that she should be prevented from making it?
I think that in this day and age, when we have enough stories of transgender people in our experience, for someone to deny the experience of a whole group of people really goes beyond reasonable or rational, and it does get to a point of ridicule. And I think that that is a fair call. We have the stories of what happens. Jim, the denial of violence, one of the biggest factors that leads to violence against trans people is that we are called, in inverted commas, deceivers, fraudsters, imposters, liars. And this happens. We're seeing the sort of denial of transgender issues at the moment in a situation in the UK where a trans woman is serving a sentence in a men's prison in Bristol. We're just under 3 weeks away from the Trans Day of Remembrance, which looks at people who have been murdered, and often because they're seen as deceivers. And so I think that there is an argument to say that the sort of opinions that we're hearing, whether someone has a right to them or not, let's be frank, we can debate that one all day and how much freedom of speech we have. But the reality is that, yes, those opinions are inciting violence. And I think in 2015, it's time trans people set trans debates.
Professor Sheila Jeffries teaches sexual politics and international feminist politics at the University of Melbourne. She joins the conversation now from London via Skype. Sheila, your thought on that, the argument that Greer makes there is one which places trans people in a position, well, of insult, of injury, and she ought not make that argument?
Well, interestingly enough, there are quite a lot of women who consider that transgenderism, that behaviour on the part of men, is in fact insulting, because it depends upon an idea of gender that is very stereotyped in terms of women. It's about interest in women's underwear, high-heeled clothes, particular forms of behaviour, which very many women reject. So actually, quite a lot of women, and increasing numbers, it seems, actually find this behaviour by men insulting in and of itself. But it's very, very difficult for women to be allowed to say this, because a great deal of bullying takes place if women say things like men who transgender do not become women. Of course, biologically, they simply don't. In fact, what they're doing is acting out an idea of what they think a woman is rather than becoming women. But it's very, very difficult for women to say that. In fact, Germaine Greer got tremendous attack. One of these transgender activists online said that he would like to cut her baggy throat and so on. I've had similar attacks myself because, of course, I've written a book on transgenderism and the politics of transgenderism. I've also had invitations to speak withdrawn. I've had venues at which I was supposed to speak cancelled because transgender activists have said things like, I'm exactly like David Irving, the Holocaust denier. I do hate speech, because of course I say transgenderism is a social construction. There is no innate kind of gender, and so actually it's not possible for men to suddenly have gender fall upon them after they've been born male, after they've lived as boys and as men. They can't suddenly become women. So I do say the same things as Germain. I think the really good thing about what Germain Greer did in that interview is that she actually made something possible, which is that it became possible for a lot of women, and some men too, to start voicing their uneasiness about what is happening. And if you look at the comments after articles about this in the media, they're quite different from the way that they were a little while ago. I mean, I think there's been another incident. It's not just what Germain's been saying, but also the fact that Caitlyn Jenner, the male athlete from the States, who now proclaims himself a woman, though of course he has his penis and is totally biologically male, has won Glamour magazine's Woman of the Year award. And people are starting to say that's actually very insulting. There are a lot of women who do much good work in the world. All that happened here was that a man appeared to be brave enough to wear a woman's type corset on the cover of a magazine.
Sally Goldner, to come back to you, I mean, there's a lot in what Sheila has just said that I imagine you find difficult, if not utterly objectionable. And yet there's a very complex conversation underneath this about the nature of gender and about, you know, what that means. Is it a thing of the intellect, or is it a thing that is biologically determined?
I think it's time that we looked at the fact that if someone is being as honest as they can with themselves and not harming anyone else just for being that way, preferably being good to people, that we get past the nature versus nurture debate. It is a reasonable academic debate. But it is not a debate in human terms, and I think we need to move past that. We also need
Where do we get to if we move past that? What's
the position
there? We
just treat people on their merits and treat them with respect and dignity, and I think a lot of the debate has been lost in sloganeering about that has lost sight of those good human principles. The other part of this is that there are to link body identity and gender expression and say they're all the same thing, to say that one automatically leads to the other, is not accurate. There are all sorts of genders. And to say that all trans women wear dresses is a major generalisation. It's interesting that I don't hear a lot of debate about trans men or the third of what I'll call the trans and gender diverse kaleidoscope, who now identifies other than male or female. And the two Australian research reports from Blues to Rainbows and the Curtin University report into trans people who are adults demonstrate this. So there's a lot more than simplistic either-or ideas. People are who they are.
We're talking about the rather vexed issue of transgender politics, I guess. Germain Greer caused some controversy when expressing a view that transgender women, men who had transitioned to female, were not, in her view, women, and therefore not part of the feminist conversation. Sally Goldner joins us. She's Executive Director at Transgender Victoria. Professor Sheila Jeffries as well teaches sexual politics and feminist politics at the University of Melbourne. Sheila Jeffries, there is a complex conversation here on the nature of gender, and a further extension of that, where this goes into feminist discourse as well.
Yes, I think it's not simply a case of everybody should be allowed to be who they are and we should all be nice to each other. Not that I wish to be nasty to anybody, whatever they choose to do. But there is a politics to this. The politics of it is that the idea of transgenderism itself comes from the relation between men and women, from male dominance, the idea that women are a particular way, that they have a feminine gender, and that men are a particular way. And when men transgender and when the medical profession supports that, as it does, it promotes this whole idea, and it's a very conservative profession, this is harmful politics. It harms women by the promotion of stereotypes. It harms the wives of the men who transgender, who often suffer a lot of bullying. It harms the children who are being transgendered now in increasing numbers. Youngsters as young as 8-10 years old are being encouraged to think there's something wrong with their completely healthy bodies and that they are really transgender. There are other problems with the politics of transgender too, which is that men who transgender and say they're women are being able to use women's toilets. They're able to go into spaces set aside for women. Men are able to go into women's toilets, refuges, women's prisons, women's shelters, all kinds of things.
On that point, Sally, I mean, is that a key to this issue, that the... And especially as Germain Greer would see it, in her view, men assuming a place at the table in that feminist discussion is a thing that she has. It's an appropriation by people formerly male of an area which is distinctly female?
I'm a firm believer that debates need to be driven by the group in question. And I think that what is happening here with this debate is if we're going to apply the same principles to trans people, then we define ourselves and we drive these debates, not people who are just simply in the most basic form of prejudice, which is denial. And the real trans debates are not whether we exist or not anymore. We exist, we are who we are. The real trans debates are about inclusive services, in particular health and medical care. They are about documentation that reflects our true selves. They are about anti-discrimination law. They're about funding transgender organisations.
And yet at the core of that is perhaps an irresolution around that fundamental debate, that acceptance that a trans woman is a woman. Have we actually gone through the process that leads us to a universal acceptance of that as fact?
This is the question that comes up, and to me I just find it the depth of irrationality and ridicule that other people can deny a whole group of people their own life story. You know, there used to be debates, to go to the parallel issue of sexual orientation, that gays and lesbians and bisexuals don't exist. Well, of course they do, and they just are. Well, this is exactly parallel in relation to gender identity and gender expression. And I think we are at a point where a debate that says a whole group of people don't know their own lives and other people can dictate to them, I think that has to end.
Is that a parallel, Sheila Jeffries, in your mind, the thing about gay identification? Is that parallel to a man identifying as female?
No, I think that's quite a different thing. I think lesbians and gays, and I'm a lesbian myself, simply engage in a form of behaviour, which is we love members of the same sex. We're not taking on anybody else's identity. The problem about men who transgender is that they're not women, and so, of course, they should not be speaking for women. They may speak for themselves as men who are engaging in a particular kind of behaviour. But obviously, women and feminists become very irritated indeed when men start to talk for women, when they say we know what women are because we are one, this is how women are, and we have a feeling in our heads and we know what it is. Of course an oppressed group needs to speak for themselves. Women need to have the right to say whether they think men are women or not, whether they are actually insulted by certain forms of behaviour that men might engage in, and there are many different forms of behaviour that the dominant class of men behave in that women have the right to criticise. Transgenderism is another one of those, and women have to speak for themselves. Men should certainly not, as they have for centuries, be speaking for women. And unfortunately, when men who transgender say they are women, they tend to then speak as if they really are. And that's a very serious problem for feminist politics and for women's representation.
Can you see that problem, Sally? Do you recognise that of yes, a transgender woman says, I am a woman, but in the feminist sphere, in the feminist conversation, that is problematic because it's someone formerly a man who has assumed that gender, then appropriating that territory.
Because we're assuming there's only one type of feminism, and there are plenty of strands of feminism that are inclusive and work together. And in the same way as trans and gender diverse people, and for that matter, again, gays and lesbians and bisexuals work on the concept of allies, this is the same thing, that we need people working together inclusively across all of society to achieve things. I also think it's worth pointing out that prior to the addition in Australia in 2013 of three attributes to federal anti-discrimination protection, being sexual orientation, gender identity, and intersex status, 85% of people across all demographics supported that law. Mm. Now, logic then says to me, if they're supporting anti-discrimination law on the basis of gender identity, they must recognise that transgender people exist. So I question whether a majority of people or even a large minority disagree. And there's evidence rather than just opinion.
How do we settle this, Sheila Jeffries? It seems an unbreachable gulf.
I do think it's unbridgeable. I think women need to be able to set their own boundaries, say who they are, and speak as women and as feminists. We can't just be inclusive and include men in all women's spaces. A lot of women's spaces are ones which very sensibly have to be separated for the purposes of safety. It's important. The legislation that Sally was talking about in 2013, when it talks about how you recognise whether somebody's transgender, includes such extraordinary things as sort of gestures. So rather than writing gender into the law, we really need to be getting rid of it so that all human beings can behave in ways that are human.
Is that the thing, Sally, to remove this notion of gender altogether? Would that help?
No, and I think that some of the inaccurate ideas that we just heard that say that trans people create stereotypes, I say totally the opposite. If we're recognising beyond male or female, we're saying there are at least 7 billion, maybe infinite genders. And again, it's our life and we know where we're living.
One thing is certain, this is certainly a conversation with two distinct points of view. Thanks to proponents of both this morning, Sally Goldner, you just heard, Executive Director at Transgender Victoria, and Professor Sheila Jeffries, who teaches sexual politics and international feminist politics, the University of Melbourne, joined us via Skype from the UK. Thanks to both. Now, this is a difficult area of conversation, and if anything in this discussion has raised issues for you, issues of concern, you can call Lifeline. 131114. Beyond Blue too is there to help. 1300 224636. Headspace as well. 1800 650 890. It's a Sunday Extra here on RN.